Swabhavan karma or swabhavan kala?
Swabhavan karma. Because you said that, you know, swabhavan karma is like it goes with the jiva, it's like the two arms. Correct. And ujjiva. And how this swabhava and karma are connected with the Supreme Lord?
Through the jiva.
Said, yeah. In Subodhan it is said, you know, this Vasudeva, with the Vasudeva, these five things are connected.
Yeah.
But it's through this connected separately.
Yeah, through the jiva. You can say like the three modes belong to the Supreme Lord, not directly but through Maya Shakti. Like that. Okay. Now we will discuss the process of creation. We are almost, I have listed it here. So while we are going through, you will be able to relate to it easily. Kalam karma svabhavam cha mayesho mayaya svaya atmanyadrachaya praptam vibhubhushur upadade. The Lord of Maya, Mayesha, Vibhubhushu, he desired to become many. You have heard this, Eko Bahusyamaha. The one Lord desired to become many. What is the meaning? That I already told. So whenever such things come, it does not, that personality who desired to become many is Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. Yeah. They take it in a different way, but our understanding is, and that one Lord is Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, and when he desires to become many, when it is time for creation, and he did not become many. The living entities who are there within his body, they get released through his glands. So the jivas were not created by Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. The jivas which were there within the body of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, they came out at the time of creation. So creation is not creation of jivas. Creation is creation of the material universe. The jivas are already there. So then who created the jivas? Who created the jivas, Narad Prabhu? Who created the jivas? Yeah. Jivas are not created. That is the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Natvevaham jatunasham natvam neme janadipa nachaivana bhavishyamaha sarve vayamataparam. He says there was never a time when I did not exist, there was never a time when you did not exist, and there was never a time when these kings did not exist, and there will never be a time when all of us would cease to exist. Even before transmigration of soul, even before Krishna speaks about transmigration of soul, in Dehi Nasmin Yata Dehi, he speaks this verse about the eternality of soul. So soul was not created. It eternally coexists with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. During the time of dissolution, it resides within the body of Mahavishnu. After creation, it exists in this material world. After liberation, it exists in the spiritual world. So the soul, it's eternally coexisting with the Supreme Lord. It's not created. Something which is created is matter. Even the manifestation of matter is temporary. But matter in its prakriti form is eternal. Of the five subjects of Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara, Kala, Karma, Prakriti and Jiva, except for Karma, all four are eternal only. So Prakriti is also eternal. its manifestation in the form of this laptop or notebook or this table, that is temporary. But prakriti in its ingredient form is eternal. Like that.
So can you say that as material world is a manifestation of the prakriti, as prakriti is a eternal, so can you say that material is eternal?
No. Because material world is a manifestation of prakriti and that manifestation is temporary only.
Yeah, manifestation is temporary.
So that is temporary. But the ingredients are eternal.
Yeah.
Like that. But the material world is not eternal.
He is saying that no, paddy is eternal, rice is not eternal.
That is for temporary. Rice already bag is available there, but whenever we are taking it temporary, it comes.
Yeah. That is currently available. Like that. Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So therefore, there will be many, many places in the scriptures where this concept comes, the one Lord desired to become many. We should not think that later also in one of the chapters it says, maybe third canto, Eko nanatvam anvichan yogatalpat samuttitah, like that it says. The one Lord desired to become many, same thing. Vibhubhushur upadade. So it almost invariably refers to Karnataka Sai Vishnu only. And it is indicating the Srishti Leela. It is the time of creation. It's not that originally only the Lord was there. Then when he desired to become many, he expanded as the Jivas. Not like that.
How do this Mayavadi explain this? Because do they accept living entities, Jiva, is a spirit soul then?
I don't know how the Mayavadis explain it.
Because if it is a spirit soul, that means it is eternal.
Yeah.
They have to accept it, correct? If they accept it, then how can that eternal soul become the God again?
No, I don't know what they...
Because
they probably do not accept
spirit soul then.
Spirit soul as being separate from Brahman only. There are many shades of Mayavad actually. Okay. So the Lord of Maya desiring to become many by his own will, Yadrichaya. Upadade, he accepts Kalam, Karma, Swabhavam cha. Through the agency of Maya. So when it is said that the Lord glances at Prakriti, what constitutes that glance is Kala, Karma and Swabhava. So basically, when you say Karma and Swabhava, it means Jiva. Because what constitutes the glance of the Lord is Jiva Shakti and Kala Shakti. So when that Jiva Shakti, when that glance constituted by Jiva Shakti and Kala Shakti falls on Pradhan, then the whole creation process starts. So the first act of glancing is indicated in this verse, through this verse. Kalam karma svabhavam cha mayesho mayaya svaya atman yadrichaya praptam vibhubhushur upadade. Yeah, they are mentioned separately, but it indicates Jiva actually. Karma and Swabhava, they are merged in the Jiva. It belongs to the Jiva, like that.
When the Lord is glancing, so he's glancing the entire material creation simultaneously, or he's doing it in sequence?
No, nothing has been created yet.
Like material creation in the sense like...
Only the raw material
all
is
the
there.
Mahatattva, like whatever raw materials are there.
Pradhan.
Pradhanas, yeah.
Yeah.
So Because each pradhana will give rise to one universe in the future.
Yeah.
So there will be many more pradhanas, right?
Many more pradhanas. Whether he is glancing them simultaneously or sequentially, it's not mentioned. I don't know. Bhagavatam does not talk about it. Bhagavatam talks about creation of one universe. Whether he glances at the other universes also simultaneously or sequentially, it's not mentioned. Bhagavatam does not talk about it. Yeah, whether in all universes the creation happens at the same time or different time, that's also not very clear from Bhagavatam. Generally, one universe is focused upon whether parallelly other universes are simultaneously yugapat kramashopiva, whether it is parallel or sequential is not mentioned in Bhagavatam. I don't know. Maybe it's there in some other literatures. Maybe Brahma Samhita or Laghu Bhagavata Amrita, somewhere it might be mentioned. I am not very sure.
The pradhana is still unmanifested, right? Like pradhana is there, but it's not manifested yet.
Unmanifested means, actually what it means is undifferentiated. Like this morning we were discussing.
Modes have not been differentiated.
Like differentiated means...
Activated.
Yeah, mode, that is one thing. Mm-hmm. Modes have not been activated is one thing. But practically, separate things have not manifested. Like this morning we saw the example of milk is like the pradhan. It is visible. But it is undifferentiated. Within that milk is ghee, is curd, is rasgulla, is rasmalai. All of them are there, but they have not yet differentiated. They are there. Milk is visible, but rasgulla is not visible yet. It needs to be processed. Milk needs to be processed to create rasgulla out of it. First paneer and then... eventually rasgulla or curd or whatever. Pradhan is like the, all ingredient.
You mean to say like pradhan is visible, physically it's visible, right?
Yeah, it may not be visible to us, but it is.
No, then
but it is,
visible to whom? Lord. Lord means can't see anything.
Of course. Lord sees anything. Whatever is there in the universal it has some aspect within the material body also. Like for example, the Mahattattva, it is represented in the material body in the form of buddhi, intelligence. So intelligence cannot be seen, but functionally it can be understood through its functions. So the same way, like ahankar cannot be seen or mind cannot be seen, but their presence can be understood through their functions. So that way pradhan also can be experienced. It's a subtle form, but its presence can be experienced in some way. But when that transforms, then it creates more and more grosser and identifiable objects like that. So practically everything is there. It is like we discussed this morning. It's like the locked kitchen. So the glance of the Lord is like the key which opens the kitchen. After that, now the cooks have entered. They have collected the ingredients. That is Karana Srishti. And then you can hear some sound. I am sure they are putting some sabji or something in the kadai. So that is Karya Srishti. And at 4 o'clock, universe will be ready. Or, prasadam will be ready. So, this verse talks about the glancing. After it is created, when we eat, it will be annihilated. And it will go inside the body of Mahavishnu after annihilation. Okay. So, many times when Prabhupada writes in his purport, he generally uses the word Mahat Tattva and Pradhan interchangeably. Even though there is a difference, but Prabhupada does not much highlight on the difference between Mahat Tattva and Pradhan generally. Mahat Tattva is like the open godown. Earlier, one of the earlier theories of creation was the primordial soup theory. Anyone knows? Anyone has heard? So, they said that initially there was a big huge bowl of chemicals, primordial soup, and some lightning or something fell on that soup, and that lightning agitated the chemicals, then they started reacting with each other, and then it created the universe. It's a borrowed theory. So that primordial soup is Pradhan, and that lightning is the glance of the Supreme Lord, as described in our Vedic literatures. They would have borrowed it. So that's the Srila Prabhupada writes here, the material sky is the portion of spiritual sky covered by the Mahatattva cloud. So the material thing is just like a cloud in the spiritual sky. One sense it's right. This is called the Ekpada Vibhuti, the 1/4. The Tripad is actually the spiritual world. As the rainy season comes and goes, creation occurs and annihilation also occurs. Which means there is a sequence to it. The whole material and spiritual worlds are manifestations of the energy of the Lord, just as light and heat are different manifestations of the fire energy. The Lord therefore exists in his impersonal form by such expansion of energy, and the complete creation rests on his impersonal feature. Mayatatam idam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. So that avyakta murtina is actually the Virat Purusha, actually like that. So what you see here is this, you know, from Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, the glance of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, it has the elements of Kala, Karma and Swabhava. When that glance falls on Pradhan, Pradhan transforms into Mahat Tattva, and further, inspired by the glance of the Supreme Lord, Mahat Tattva transforms into Ahankar. And Ahankar further transforms into the three: Sattvic Ahankar, Rajas Ahankar and Tamas Ahankar. Sattvic Ahankar produces mind and the sense devatas, and Rajasahankar creates intelligence, prana and the 10 senses, 5 karmendriyas, 5 gyanendriyas, and Tamasahankar creates the 5 elements and the 5 tanmatras. So between the element and tanmatra, the tanmatra is considered to be more subtle than the element. So the creation happens from the subtle to the gross. So therefore, first sound is created. Anavriti Shabdat. Or what do they say that? Initially only the sound was there. So from sound, ether was created. From ether, touch is created. Because air's tanmatra is touch. From touch, air is created. From air, form is created. From form, fire is created. From fire, taste is created. First the tanmatra. From taste, water is created. From water, smell is created. From smell, earth is created. This is the order of creation of the tamas ahankar.
So till here is the karana srishti. All the elements needed for creation are created. So beyond this is karya srishti.
So karya srishti we will discuss little later, but karana srishti is from here to here. So that's what we are going to discuss now.
कालात् गुणव्यतिकरः परिणामस्वभावतः कर्मणो जन्म महता पुरुषाधिष्ठितादभूत्. कालात् गुणव्यतिकरः, वाट् दीस् थ्री एलिमेंट्स् डू बै द टाइम अजिटेट्स् द थ्री गुणास्. कालात् गुणव्यतिकरः, गुणव्यतिकराकारो, द थर्ड वर्ड इन् दि थर्ड कैंटो कपिलदेव डिस्क्राइब्स् दट द नेचर ऑफ time is it agitates the three gunas. When the three gunas get agitated, then slowly the whole creation starts. Parinama swabhavatah, and further this pradhan is further transformed by the swabhavas of the living entities. Karmano janma mahatah, and further when karma, swabhava and time all three act on the pradhan, it gives rise to what is called as mahatah, mahattattva. Purusha adishtita adabhut, all this is happening under the glands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's what we saw, the first thing, when the glands of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu falls on pradhan, pradhan transforms into mahatattva. Creation of mahatattva. Mahatattva. Actually what it means is by the interaction of all three, kala, karma and swabhava, by its interaction with pradhan, mahatattva is created. Not just by the, that's understood, that's the so then he continues.
महतस्तु विकुर्वाणात् रजसत्वोपब्रह्मितात् तमप्रदानस्त्वभवत् द्रव्यज्ञानक्रियात्मकाः. सो ही सेज महतस्तु विकुर्वाणात्, विकुर्वाणात् मीन्स् ट्रान्स्फार्म्. बै द ट्रान्स्फर्मेशन् ऑफ महत्तत्व, वाट् इस् द नेचर् ऑफ महत्तत्व? रजसत्व उपब्रह्मित, विच् इस् प्रिडामिनेंट्ली इन् रजस् अण्ड् सत्व. Okay, what is mentioned here as mahattattva is actually a combination of mahattattva and sutra tattva. So just like in our body we have prana, in the universal body the representation of prana is sutra. So there is a I will write it and wipe this so that we can use it. We'll discuss. Sutra we will discuss in the sixth chapter, next chapter we'll discuss. So, in the individual body, we have gross body, subtle body, the soul and the super soul. Okay, so the gross body is made of earth, water, fire, air, ether. The subtle body is made of mind, intelligence, false ego. Okay, and then the soul is there, and the super soul is Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu, right? In the universal body also there is a gross body. What is the gross body of the universe? The conglomeration of all the earth, water, fire, air and ether in that particular universe, when it is imagined to form the various limbs of the Virat Purusha, that is called the gross body of the universe. So conglomeration of all elements. And the universal, the universe also has a subtle body. What is the subtle body of the universe? Conglomeration of all the subtle elements. Conglomeration of all the subtle elements. And what is the soul of the universal body? Conglomeration of all the individual souls in that particular universe is imagined to be the soul of the universe. This is called as Hiranyagarbha. And what is the super soul of the universe? Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Like that. So just like the individual living entities have gross body, the universe also has a gross body. Individual living entities have subtle body, universe also has subtle body. The individual body has a soul, universe also has Hiranyagarbha as the soul. The individual body has a super soul, which is Shirodaka Sai Vishnu, and universal body as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu as the super soul. Like that. So similarly, okay, I'll wipe this. Okay, let it be there. Later I can wipe. No problem. So he says that Mahatastu Vikurvanat Rajasattvopa Brahmitat. When this Mahatattva, which is predominantly in Rajas and Sattva, when it is transformed, Tama Pradanah, a substance predominated by Tamas, which is called as Ahankar, is created. And this Ahankar is composed of Dravya Jnana Kriyatmaka. You see there, Dravya Shakti is Tamas Ahankar, Kriya Shakti is Rajas Ahankar, Jnana Shakti is Sattvika Ahankar. So basically, when it is mentioned that Dravya Jnana Kriyatmaka means, it means Sattvika Ahankar, Rajas Ahankar, Tamas Ahankar. And another terminology that I used is Adidaiva, Adhyatmik and Adibhautik. You see, that's what is indicated here. Composed of Adibhuta. Adibhuta means products of Tamas Ahankar. Adhyatma means products of Rajas Ahankar. Adidaiva means products of Sattvika Ahankar. Like that. So these three terminologies are interchangeably used. Sattvika Ahankar, Adidaiva and Jnana Shakti. Okay. Rajas Ahankar, Adhyatma and Kriya Shakti. Tamas Ahankar, Adibhuta and Dravya Shakti. These are like interchangeably used. Another is Sattvika Ahankar is also called as Vaikari, and Rajas Ahankar is called Taijasa, and Tamas Ahankar is called Tamasa. These are like same thing but different terminologies, like that. What it means is same thing. Others should also hear your question.
Like
you mentioned there Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti also. So all these various Shaktis, they are coming from Ahankara or they are separate energies of the Lord which are taking part in this creation process?
Yeah, they are eventually energies of the Supreme Lord only, but manifesting through the Ahankar. Yeah, through Ahankar they manifest. Eventually everything is an energy of the Supreme Lord only. But they are manifesting through the Ahankar.
So understood, like, because when this creation process is moving ahead, then again the Lord, you know, we injected some extra energies to accelerate this creation process.
His glance is always there, but which is like the power supply. But when that power supply acts on a cooler, it cools. When it acts on a heater, geyser, it heats. When it acts on a tube light, it gives some light. When it acts on the fan, it gives some air. That's my understanding. So when that glance falls on Pradhan, it transforms into Mahatattva. When the same glance falls on Mahatattva, it transforms into Ahankar. But what constitutes that glance is Kala, Karma, Swabhava. That's what is indicated. So here it is mentioned that Mahatattva has all the three gunas, but it is predominantly in Rajasantattva. Like that. So it is mentioned that Rajasattva Upabrahmhitat. Upabrahmhitat means filled with or mainly constituted. But there is some element of tamas also. Otherwise one may be wondering, if Mahatattva is made of only rajas and sattva, then where did Ahankar, which is made of tamas, come from? Okay. So there is some tamas element in the Mahatattva also, but it is very small. The quantity is very small. From this Mahatattva, which is produced by the Kala, Karma and Swabhava, the glance of the Lord, a substance predominated by tamas. What is that substance? Ahankar is produced. Like that. Yeah, go ahead.
In the beginning, Prabhuji, like Pradhana was there when it is said that it was in Shuddha Sattva, like.
It is never said that.
Shuddha Sattva means like in the mode of goodness.
No.
Maximum quantity of mode of goodness was there.
No.
Maybe.
In Pradhan, it has all the three modes.
But other, like Rajoguna and Tamoguna, they are in very less quantities. Satoguna is very predominant, like that. Is it, Prabhuji? I am like trying to confirm.
No, the source of all three modes is Pradhan only. It has all the three modes. So Pradhan has all three modes. It's Trigunatmaka.
Okay.
So it has all the three modes.
So gradually, when the creation process proceeds ahead, then Rajoguna and Tamoguna means they start increasing in quantity, like that. So why they are increasing? Like previously, their quantity was less.
No.
Then gradually,
it's not mentioned like that. Pradhan, see, first thing, you started with a wrong assumption, and then you are building a story based on that wrong assumption. First thing is Pradhan has all three modes. But they are in an inactive stage. When the Lord's glance falls on the Pradhan, then it becomes active. And when it becomes active, then it creates Mahatattva, which is predominantly in Sattva, Sutra Tattva, which is predominantly in Rajas, and Ahankar, which is predominantly in Tamas.
This Mahatattva, Sutra Tattva and Ahankara, they are they are simultaneously manifesting.
They are not parallelly created. The first, the Mahatattva and Sutra Tattva is created, and then subsequently Ahankar is created. So even though Ahankar is predominantly in Tamas, but Ahankar also has Sattva and Rajas in it. That's how you have this Sattvic Ahankar, Tamas Ahankar and Rajas Ahankar. So the Ahankar, even though it is predominantly Tamas, it has some element of Rajas and Sattva also. See, basically, these are not like creation of nuts and bolts which we can visualize and understand using our intelligence. These are much more subtle processes. Some sequence is given, but that does not mean that we can recreate something like this in a small scale in our laboratory. It's not like that. So, what exactly these things are is not very explicitly detailed, actually. Okay, so we will move ahead. Sohankara iti prokto vikurvan samabhutrida vaikarikastaijasascha tamasascheti yadvida dravyashaktikriya shaktir jnana shaktir iti prabhu. So now you know, what is Dravya Shakti? Yeah, what is Kriya Shakti? What is Jnana Shakti? Yeah, like that. So these terminologies again and again in different form they will come. Abhi you see Vaikarikas. What is Vaikari? Sattvika Ankar. What is Taijasa? Rajasik. What Tamasa is Tamasa, like that. So Saha Ahankara iti prokto vikurvan samabhutrida. That which is called as Ahankar, it now divides, transforms into three further types, which are called as Vaikari, Taijasa and Tamasa. Vaikari is Sattva, Taijasa is Rajasik and Tamasa is Tamasik. And they are also called Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Dravya Shakti. Jnana Shakti is Sattvika, Kriya Shakti is Rajasa and Tamasa is Dravya Shakti, like that. Okay. This light can be switched on. Does it function? Can you try? Because my notes have faded, I am not able to see properly. Okay. Because it has become dark also, I am not able to exactly see my notes. Okay, it's okay, it's okay. Okay, the Dravya Shakti has the capacity to produce the five gross elements starting with ether. You see here? So the Dravya Shakti can produce the five gross elements starting with ether. We saw it in that this thing also. Ether, air, fire, water and earth, like that. The Kriya Shakti has the capacity to produce the senses. You see, from Kriya Shakti comes that Karmendriyas, Jnanendriyas, and the intelligence and prana. So intelligence actually controls the Jnana Shakti. Intelligence controls the Jnanendriyas. And prana controls the karmendriyas. Like for example, I'll give you an example. How the prana controls the karmendriyas and intelligence controls the jnanendriyas. If you see, in a very small child whose intelligence has not developed much, or in a person who may be mentally not very sound, mental development is not there. So in those people you see, their sense of discrimination with respect to what to eat, what to touch will be very poor. Like a child may, you know, pass stool and he may be sitting on that stool only.
Okay? Whereas a grown-up human being cannot, because his gyanendriya of smell has become very discriminating now. But for a child whose intelligence has not yet been developed, he will put his finger in his mouth. I mean, what taste is there in the finger? Whatever he gets, he will put it in his mouth. Whereas an adult will be more discriminating. He will put only that which is tasty and healthy in his mouth. Like that. So intelligence actually empowers the gyanendriyas to be more discriminating. Oh, okay. This is good. Oh, thank you. And whereas prana empowers the karmendriyas. Like for example, on a fasting day, you can see, you can hear, all of that. Gyanendriyas can function. But if I ask you to run a marathon, or, you know, transfer, you know, rice or other such things from here to there, there to here, you know, at the end of the fasting day, not at the beginning, you have fasted throughout the day. Even to climb the stairs will be difficult actually. So the karmendriyas, for their functioning, prana empowers them. And the gyanendriyas, for their functioning, intelligence empowers them. Like that. So they are the products of Rajasahankar. Like that. The Kriya Shakti has the capacity to produce the senses. The Jnana Shakti has the capacity to produce the sense devatas. You see here, mind and sense devatas are created. The state of equilibrium is called Pradhan. So it's not that Pradhan is predominantly in Sattva. There is equilibrium of the gunas. They have not yet been agitated. When the gunas have been unagitated, that state of existence in which the gunas have not yet been agitated and activated, that state is called Pradhan. But when the Pradhan is agitated by time, then the predominance of Sattva produces Mahatattva, the predominance of Rajas produces Sutra Tattva, which is also a type of Mahatattva. And the predominance of tamas produces ahankar. But all three of them have some element of the other two modes also. That's why the usage of the word predominance is used. Predominance mostly. In this, the tamas ahankar with very less sattva and rajas produces the dravya. Tamas ahankar produces dravya, dravya shakti. Okay, like that. So Prabhupada here writes in the purport, ahankar, or the sense of identification with matter, is grossly self-centered and is devoid of clear knowledge of existence of God. So if only one had clear knowledge of the existence of God, then he will neither be identifying with the Sattvika Ahankar or Rajasa Ahankar or Tamasa Ahankar. So identifying with Sattvika Ahankar makes him feel that I am the controller. Identification with the Rajasa Ahankar makes him feel that I am the enjoyer. And identification with the Tamasa Ahankar makes him feel that I am the proprietor. The sense of being the proprietor, enjoyer and controller is created by the living entities identifying with these three layers of ahankar, which is also called as adhyatma, adhidaiva and adhibhuta. This is what Prabhupada is writing here. This is the cause of their bondage.
impersonalists are grossly self-centered and they come up with their own impersonalistic conception of the Lord. The cause of such gross ignorance is constant engagement in artificially increasing the material demands.
Many times Prabhupada writes that the impersonalistic theory is the cause of hedonism, unrestricted enjoyment in this material world. Like that. Okay, let's move ahead.
Tamasadapi bhutader vikurvanad abunnabaha tasya matra guna shabdo lingam yadrishtra drishtayoho.
So what we are now going to discuss is the
products of tamasahankar. How from tamasahankar first sound is created.
Then from sound ether is created. From ether touch is created. From touch air is created. This is what we are going to see now. Okay. So it is from subtle to gross. So because the tanmatra or the sense perception is subtler than the element, therefore sound is produced first, touch is produced first before air, form is produced first before fire, taste is produced first before water, and smell is produced first before the earth, like that. First the tanmatra is created, then the element.
Okay. Okay. So from ether arose the subtle touch. This is right, right? Okay. Tamasadapi bhutader vikurvanad abunnabaha tasya matra guna shabdo lingam yadrashtri drishyayoho. From the darkness of false ego, the first of the five elements, namely ether, is generated. So ether has been, sorry, it's not there, ether is generated. And from ether, sound is, even though, see the, in the presentation, it may seem to be a little jumbled, but actually one should understand that first sound is created and then from sound only ether is created. Its subtle quality is the quality of sound. This arose before ether. You see, even though it is not mentioned in the verse, Vishnu Acharya Thakur clarifies it, implied. This arose before ether. Sound represents objects unseen and seen in the present as well. So, like for example, Swarga is indicated by sound. One has not seen Swarga, but through the description of Swarga, one can actually understand what it looks like that. So now, what he is going to describe next, based on what we have seen. Sound has been created, from sound ether has been created. Next. Before that, touch is created. From touch, air will be created. From air, then form will be created. From air, fire. From form, fire will be created. Like that.
Nabasota vikurvanad abhut sparsha guno nilaha paranvayat shabdavamscha prana ojas saho balam.
From ether arose the subtle touch and the element air. Air also holds the previous quality of sound. Air is the cause of prana, which gives the strength to the senses, mind and body. Ojas sahas balam. Balam means strength of the body. Sahas means strength of the mind and mental strength, and ojas means sensual strength. So sensual strength is ojas, mental strength is sahas,
like we say sahasya. What is the meaning of sahasya? Yeah, do you have the guts? Do you have the guts to do it? We say like that. And balam, balavan indriya gramo, like that. So that is mentioned here. Vayorapi vikurvanat kala karma swabhavatah udapadyata tejo vai rupavat sparsha shabdavat. Under the influence of kala karma and swabhava, again, because the purusha adishtita, the glance of the Lord is always there, and that is made of kala karma and swabhava. By the transformation of air, arose form, and from form, fire. So, every subsequent element that is created has the tanmatra of the previous element also. For example, earth has the primary tanmatra of earth is smell. Okay? Let's start from ether. Ether has only sound. It has no touch, no form, no smell, and no taste. Okay. Then comes air. Air has sound and touch. You can experience air, and when the air is flowing, you can hear it also. Fire has sound. When it is burning, you can hear it. Touch, you can very well experience it. And it has form, you can see the fire also. Water has sound. When it flows, you can hear. It has touch, you can touch it and feel it. It has a form, you can see it. And it has taste. Whereas fire has no taste. If you try to taste fire, then you will never be able to taste anything after that. It will burn your taste buds completely. But fire itself has no taste. And earth has all. It has, you can see it, you can touch it, you can smell it, it has taste, everything like that. So that's what is indicated here. Then tejasastu vikurvanat asid amborasatmakam rupavat sparshavat chambo goshavaccha paranvayat. From the transformation of fire arose taste and water. Water contains form as well as touch and sound from the previous elements. Visheshastu vikurvanat ambaso gandavanabhut paranvayadrasa sparsha shabda rupa gunanvitah. From the transformation of water arose smell, and from smell arose earth. Earth contains the subtle aspects, taste, touch, form and sound of the previous elements along with smell. So that is creation of the tamasahankar. Okay. Now we will see creation of the sattvikahankar. Vaikarikan manojagne deva vaikarika dasha digvatarka prachetoshvi vahneendropendra mitrakaha. From ahankar in sattva, from the sattvika ahankar arose manojagni, mind. And deva vaikarika dasha, and the 10 devatas who control the 10 senses. 5 jnanendriyas, 5 karmendriyas are controlled by devatas. So who are they? Dig. The dig devatas, they are the presiding deities of hearing, vata. Vata is vayu, it is the presiding deity of touch. Arka is sun, surya is the presiding deity of sight, eyes. Pracheta is varuna, he is the presiding deity of taste. And Ashvi are the Ashwini Kumaras, who are the presiding deities of smell. Vahni, Agni, he is the presiding deity of speech. Indra is the presiding deity of hands. Upendra is the presiding deity of legs. Mitra is the presiding deity of anus, and Ka or Prajapati Daksha is the presiding deity of genitals, like that. Okay, so these presiding deities are not creations of Brahma. There is Prakrita Sarga, there is Vaikrita Sarga, or the primary creation, secondary creation. So, in the primary creation, apart from the creation of the universe itself, the sense devatas are also creation by Karanadak Sai Vishnu only. So, they come under Prakrita Sarga, like that. They are? No, they are not Vishnu Tattva. No, they are not Vishnu, they are Jiva Tattva only. Can you pass the mic?
This the sense devatas, okay, that total 10 sense devatas are there.
Yeah,
these are the, that means the sense devatas are from the spiritual, they come to the material world for the function or something else?
No, it's not mentioned like that. They are
no, because they cannot be created, maybe they take the roles.
Nay, that's what the jivas have already been injected, na?
Correct, huh?
The jivas have already been injected into the material world by the glands of the Lord. And instead of Brahmaji giving them a shape, the Lord himself gives them a body, that's all. They are not coming from the spiritual world. They all have come from the body of Mahavishnu only. So some of those jivas take these roles of being sense devatas, that's all.
Okay, that means some of the
Brahmaji jivas has not yet been created.
Some of the jivas take this role as a sense devata.
Yeah, they are not from the spiritual world. It's not mentioned like that.
So these 10 devas are created before Brahma itself. Yeah, because yeah. Karnadaksai is Brahma created.
Yeah,
That means, then what is the difference between that? That Indra, who is in the heaven, and this Indra, who is the inches of the hands.
There must be some expansions. I am not very sure about it. Whether this Indra is exactly the same. But it must be some parallel expansion like that. It must be one expansion acts as the sense devata and the other, he is simultaneously existing in the heaven also.
You are saying this, you know, one heaven is here and the heaven is in the Meru, somewhere. That
what no, those are just the, in Meru, that is the Viharasthan. They sometimes come there to enjoy, that's all.
Like expansion of that Meru, whatever, Bhuluk.
See, heaven has not yet been created. The sense devata Indra has been created. Once the heaven is created, an expansion of Indra will also, you know, he will be presiding over that heaven. Like one living entity can parallelly expand into, you know, some special living entities can parallelly expand into 2-3 different expansions. So some of them, in their expanded form, they act as sense devatas. Parallelly, they act as the devatas also for universal management, like that.
That means what we understand is that they are, as you know, they are like the son of Adityas, Surya and Indra and Varuna. So that they are different set, no? Or they are, you mean to say they are the expansion?
See, in particular pastimes, they also take, in particular ways, they take birth in the material world. that is there. Like for example, Krishna, there are episodes where Krishna kills the Panchajana demon and from that he gets the Panchajanya Kaushal. That does not mean it's not an eternal. Before that, Krishna did not have Panchajanya. It's not like that. It's an eternal, you know, you can say like an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But parallelly, there are pastimes. Like, same way with Bhagavatam also. Even though there are particular pastimes depicting how Vyasadeva spoke Bhagavatam to Shukadeva Goswami and Shukadeva Goswami spoke Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. But Bhagavatam in this 18,000 verse form is eternally existing. And every now and then there is some pastime that is enacted about how Bhagavatam comes to this material world. But Bhagavatam in its 18,000 verse form is eternal. So similarly, this is an example. Of course, the sense devatas are not eternal, but their manifestation is there, and every now and then Diti and Kashyapa will unite and from them the Adityas will come, or Aditi and Kashyapa will unite and from them the Adityas will come. Such pastimes are there. But having said that, the sense devatas in their expansion form also are there always, at least during the creation. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, right.
So, these presiding deities, Prabhuji, of the senses, so they are just, there is just one deity for every individual, or there will be as many as deities as there are, individuals?
Nay, I don't think there are as many deities as individuals. I don't think so. It's just like Paramatma form. Like one deity, they control the Ashwini Kumaras, they control the sense of smell for all the living entities. Yeah, that's my understanding. Yeah, like Paramatma. Yeah. So like that, the creation of Sattvika Ahankar is described. Now Rajasa Ahankar is left. Taijasattvikurvanat indriyani dasha bhavan Jnana Shakti Kriya Shaktir Buddhi Pranascha Taijasau Shrotram Tvagrana Drigjihva Vagdor Medrangri Payavaha. From Ahankar in Rajas arose the intelligence, and intelligence is called Jnana Shakti. Jnana Shakti means that which gives Shakti to the Jnanendriyas. Here this Jnana Shakti and that Jnana Shakti is different. Okay, even though the same terminology is used, you see, Bhagavatam only in the same section is using that same terminology to mean different things. So the point is, one should not get very much caught up with the terminologies. One thing that you need to understand, that terminologies have very contextual usages. They don't have universal usage. So Bhagavatam or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, these are not dictionaries. Amarakosh, Vishwakosh, not like that. So therefore they don't give dictionary meanings. They give very contextual meanings. They create their own meanings. And that is revealed by the Acharyas, like that. So here, it is mentioned Jnana Shakti. Buddhi hi Jnana Shakti. But you may say, but Buddhi was Kriya Shakti. Isn't it? Kriya Shakti is Rajasahankar. Buddhi is created by Kriya Shakti, Rajasahankar. Buddhi Jnana Shakti, how? So this Jnana Shakti is different. This Jnana Shakti means it gives Shakti to the Jnanendriyas, which are also products of Kriya Shakti only, Rajasahankar. You understand? So therefore, and Prana Kriya Shakti. So Prana Kriya Shakti means this Kriya Shakti is different. The Prana gives Shakti to the Karmendriyas. Here Kriya means karma. and the 10 senses. The 10 senses are ear, skin, nose, eye, tongue, voice, hands, feet, anus and penis. These are all subtle senses. Sukshmendriyas, these are not stulendriyas. Because the stulendriyas are part of creation of tamasahankar. You understand? Subtle senses, gross sense. This is nasika, that I can touch. That is gross sense. This is adibhuta. But my sense of smell, that is adhyatma. That is what is called here as grana. You see here, shrotram tvag grana drigjihva. Shrotram chakshuh sparshanam cha rasanam grana mevacha. These are all subtle senses. Sukshmendriyas, they are not stulendriyas. Because stulendriyas have not yet been created. The raw material only has been created. The stula body will be created by Brahmaji and others. Okay. So what is mentioned as karmendriyas and gyanendriyas as products of rajasahankar, they are subtle senses. They are not gross senses. They are sukshmendriyas, not stulendriyas. Speak in the mic.
So, three verses taken together, Jiva Goswami comment that verse that because he has quoted the verse to third canto, function of intelligence, high functions.
Yeah.
You see, your action and karmendriya and gyanendriya and also all are, comes on tejas ahankar, comes under the rajasic ahankar. So, that's why taking three verses together. Comparing the function of intelligence, five functions.
So yeah.
All things are happen.
Acha, all things, the five functions of intelligence are
doubt,
samshaya, viparyasa, nischaya, swapa and smriti. These five things. So samshaya is doubt, viparyasa is identifying what is false knowledge, nischaya is identifying what is right knowledge, sleep is swapa and smriti is intelligence, memory. So, where these five are indicated here?
You said that just the knowledge senses coming from the tejasankar and the buddhi also
comes. Knowledge from, senses come from?
Because here pran and knowledge acquiring senses and karmendriya and ganendriya, buddhi and pran. So, you are part of function of intelligence.
They are all part of the function of intelligence.
Yeah, because. Okay. Sleep means if the sleep means who is sleeping, the karmendriya sleeps.
Yeah.
And knowledge acquiring senses, that is memory and you know smriti and the intelligence part, comparing things.
Acha, memory and smriti is gyanendriyas.
Quoting the verse, actually that verse. And
okay, I'll refer and we will see how he is connecting it. Okay. So, now we have seen the products of Sattvika Ahankar, Rajasa Ahankar and Tamasa Ahankar. So, the Karana Srishti is over. All the elements needed for creation have been created. So, now how they come together to form functional universe. That's what we have to understand. So that is described in Karya Srishti. In four verses, this Karya Srishti is described.
How long did it take for this Karana Srishti?
Not mentioned. But there is some mention of some time. We will see. But how long did it take for Karana Srishti? It is not mentioned in Bhagavatam. Karya Srishti, some aspect of Karya Srishti, there is some time indicated. But Karana Srishti is not mentioned. 5 minutes break you want? Yeah, okay. 5 minutes bio break. between Karana Srishti and Karya Srishti 5 minutes is there. Ford. Alfred Ford might not have even touched the car. But still, for convenience purpose, if I tell the name of the engineer, will you know? So, some literatures talk about Ford being the creator of the car. But Ford must have appointed a few engineers to actually take care of the production of that particular car. So, some other literatures like Brahma Samhita, they clarify little more as to how Lord Vishnu enlists the assistance of Lord Shiva in creation. So, it is not, but one literature may not completely describe the role of the engineer and role of, so Brahma Samhita does that. Maybe sometime we will, I myself have not very thoroughly read that section of Brahma Samhita. But here for now, it is mentioned that it is Karanodaka Sai Vishnu whose glands. So what is the role of Shiva? Sometimes it is mentioned that the glands itself is Lord Shiva. But Laghu Bhagavatamrita gives a slightly different understanding. Laghu Bhagavatamrita says, what is mentioned as Shambhu is actually Mahavishnu only. That's one insight that Rupa Goswami gives in Laghu Bhagavatamrita. And he gives various reasons. So he says, that Shambhu is addressed as Neelakanta. So he says, one may say, if that Shambhu is Karanodaka Sai Vishnu, then how is he Neelakanta? So Rupa Goswami says, he is called Neelakanta because he has Kaustubha Mani on his neck. Then he says, that Shambhu is also addressed as Trinayana, one with three eyes. Who has three eyes? Lord Shiva. But Rupa Goswami says, no, it refers to Vishnu only because he is addressed as Trinayana because he knows the past, present and future. Then he says, Shambhu refers to Lord Shiva only. He says, no, secondarily it refers to Shiva. Shambhu means one who bestows auspiciousness. The supreme auspiciousness is bestowed by Vishnu only. And he gives further references to indicate that what is mentioned as Shambhu there is actually Karanodaka Sai Vishnu only. So, but nevertheless, Brahma Samhita seems to indicate the role of Shiva. I will just refer and try to reconcile if there is a reconciliation between the two. So, I'll try to do that because when I first read Laghu Bhagavatamrita, it seemed quite clear to me that what is mentioned as Shambhu is actually Karanodaka Sai Vishnu only. So, yeah, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, yeah, does seem to indicate the role of Lord Shiva, but I will refer to Brahma Samhita and let you know there is some indication there. Some people say that the glands itself is Lord Shiva. Some people say that one who glances is not actually Vishnu, there is Lord Shiva. I have some confusing explanations I have heard. So, I think I'll refer to Brahma Samhita and get back to you. But at least based on Bhagavatam's description, it is Karanodaka Sai Vishnu glancing. That is quite clear. So now, Karya Srishti is starting. What happens? He says, O Brahma Vittama, O best of the Brahmanas. Who is that best of the Brahmana? Narada Muni. And who is addressing him? Brahmaji. Yada, as long as Ete Bhuta Indriya Mano Gunaha, as long as all these elements such as the senses, mind, buddhi, etc. Asangata bhava. Sangha means together. Asangha means separate. Bhava means existence. As long as they exist separately, yada ete asangata bhava ayatana nirmane na shekuhu. It is not possible for them to produce material bodies in the form of this material universe. Tada, at that point of time, samhatya cha anyonyam, bringing them together. Okay, how did they come together? Bhagavat shakti chodita. The Lord engages his bibrat shakti, or as cohesive energy, one of his shaktis. He uses her to combine all the material elements together. Sada sattvam upadaya, accepting the primary and secondary forms. Ubayam sasrujur hi adaha, they created the body of the whole universe now, and the individual bodies in it later, not right now. Okay, so now only the universal body is created. So first what happens is, when these elements are together, there is one additional thing that happens, that is mentioned in the third canto. All the elements are there, they have their presiding deities, they go to the Supreme Lord and offer prayers. They say, my dear Lord, you have created us for the purpose of helping, assisting you in this universal creation, but now we are separate. As long as we are separate and not coming together, we cannot do anything useful in assisting you in this universal creation. So can you please do something to bring us together? Like that, there is one chapter in which the devatas offer their prayers. And after the devatas offer their prayers, the Lord sends his Bibrat Shakti. Or Prabhupada calls her Kali. This is not the Kali. This is one energy of the Supreme Lord. And binds them. Tada samhatya cha anyonyam. She binds them together. And what happens after that binding, next verse is going to discuss now. Okay, let's move ahead. Varshapuga sahasrante tadandam mudakeshayam kalakarma svabhavasto jivo jivam ajivayat. Varshapuga sahasrante. He says that tad ajivam andam. So when the Lord's Bibrat Shakti brought all the elements together, it became in the form of a egg, andam, a spherical body. Okay. And that spherical body was floating in the universal water. Which water? Karana ocean. It was floating in that water. For how long? Varsha Puga Sahasrante, for 1,000 years. So for 1,000 years it was floating like that. Then the Lord, Jivaha, Kala Karma Swabhavasto, situated in time, karma and swabhava, tad ajivam andam ajivayat, he brought that non-living universe into life. So who is this Jiva? Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. So now the second Purusha is entering. The universal egg has been created. So it is lying down lifeless in that in the waters of Karanodaka ocean. Then Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu enters, and after he enters the universe, he sees, where do I stay? So he's from the sweat of his body, Garbhodaka ocean is created. So that Garbhodaka ocean fills half. The lower hemisphere is full Garbhodaka ocean. On top of that is the Anantasesh. On that Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu lies down. Okay. And the upper hemisphere, the upper half of the universe, that is differentiated by Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu into the 14 planetary systems. That's what we are going to see now. Half water, half is empty, and that is what is going to become the 14 planetary systems. Okay. Yes. When it is not specifically mentioned, it refers to human years only. It can't be 1000 Brahma years because Brahma's whole lifespan is only 100 years. So, yeah. No. They were all brought together by the Bibhrat Shakti, the cohesive energy of the Lord. After that, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu enters. After 1000 years. That way everything is one only. The universe is also energy of the Lord only. Okay. So, here Srila Prabhupada writes, here the Lord Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu is addressed as the Jiva, as he is the leader of all the Jivas and he animates this whole universe. Therefore, he is mentioning Jivo Ajivam Andam Ajivayat. That Jiva, who is Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, Ajivam Andam, this dead universe, Ajivayat, gave life to it. Like that. Thus, the Lord is the father and the material nature is the mother. Thus, the Lord is the ultimate cause of all. Able to read my own handwriting. All animated things in this world. Okay, anyway. Yeah. See, actually, there Hiranyagarbha means he is the representative of Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha actually is described earlier as the conglomeration of all the living entities. So, here, otherwise the Virat Purusha is also addresses Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu only in the next verse. But it is his expansion in that sense. Yeah. So, sometimes the word Hiranyagarbha, it is mentioned that Brahmaji has three forms. He has the form of the Virat Rup, he has the form of Hiranyagarbha, and he has the four-headed form, it is mentioned. Sometimes, Garbhodaka Sai, the Hiranyagarbha and the Virat Purusha is attributed to Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. In the next verse, he is going to say, Sayeva Purushas Tasma Dandam Nirbidya Nirgataha Sahasror Vangri Bahvaksha Sahasranana Shirshavan. Like that. So, primarily this universe is an expansion of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. There is one Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu per universe and there is one Brahma per universe also, but he is under Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Like, for example, we may say that DT department is under Tirumala Govind Prabhu. Okay. But Tirumala Govind Prabhu is under Kanaya Krishna Prabhu or whomever. I don't know. I don't know the hierarchy here. But the point is, so it is not, sometimes it may say that, oh, who is the in charge of DT department? Someone may say Tirumala Govind Prabhu. Someone may say Kanaya Krishna Prabhu. There is nothing wrong. Primarily, it belongs to one. Secondarily, it belongs to another. Okay. Even though hands-on, he may be taking care, but sometimes it may be attributed to him. Like for example, someone may say that, I think you understand. Okay.
Here it is mentioned that many universes is created.
Where
in,
it is mentioned?
In this verse.
Okay.
34.
34th verse it is mentioned. Oh.
Many universes.
Okay. Many universes, yeah.
So, all the universes are manifested in one time?
That's what we discussed. It is not mentioned clearly in Bhagavatam. Is it a parallel creation or is it a sequential creation? Is not mentioned in Bhagavatam.
Okay, but all the universes have that same ingredients. Like that we can take because the mention description.
Yeah, is same ingredients. Yeah. One representative universe is described the same way other universes are also created. Like that.
Say na, Krishna Leela is going on continuously. Mm-hmm. It's like, that means it looks like a sequential.
Maybe. See, that's what. See, there are unlimited speculations. What I am telling is there is no clear-cut Shabda Praman. When I come across one, I will let you know. Or if you come across one, you let me know. I have never read anywhere, whether it is sequential or parallel, I am not sure about it. So, if I come across something, I'll let you know. So now Karya Srishti has started. The first step in Karya Srishti was we had to get everyone together so that they can do some useful contribution. So, that was accomplished by the Bibrat Shakti. So, it formed an egg. But all were together, but there was no leader to guide them. So, the leader entered, grand entry. Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu enters. So, through his sweat, he fills up half the universe, lies down there. Now, what he does now, we are going to see. Sayeva purushastasmad andam nirbidya nirgataha sahasrorvangri bahvaksha sahasranana shirshavan tasmad thereafter. Thereafter means after his entering into the universe. Sayeva purushaha, that very same purusha. Which purusha? Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Andam nirbidya, he pierced the universe nirgataha and went outside. This is symbolic. This indicates that he is in this world but not of this world. And he is not attached to this world. So, nirgataha is a metaphorical way of indicating that the Lord is not attached to this material universe. That is the point. Okay. So, I'm going to complete. I'm just seeing if regarding this something is given. Okay. Sahasra Uru Angri Bahu Aksha Sahasranana Shirshavan. There he resides with 1,000 legs, feet, arms, eyes, faces, and heads. Okay. So we read this Purusha Sukta. Sahasra Sirusha Purushah Sahasraksha Sahasrapat Sabhumim Vishvato Vritva Atyatishtat Dashangulam. So the next chapter is titled by Prabhupada as Purusha Sukta Confirmed. But if you see in his purports, practically he mentions nothing about Purusha Sukta at all. Nor is in the translation anything mentioned about Purusha Sukta at all. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that how this verse indicates this verse of Purusha Sukta. How this verse indicates this verse of Purusha Sukta. So what, one may say. Actually, we have to understand some history. I am just giving a prelude to the next chapter, which we may most likely start tomorrow only. So the next chapter is titled as Purusha Sukta Confirmed. So if you see, the first commentary to Vedanta Sutra was written by Shankaracharya. Okay. And he referred only to the Shrutis to comment on the Vedanta Sutras. And because he was the first one to comment, he literally rejected the Smritis. Because Smritis are much more direct. So therefore it is very difficult to establish impersonal philosophy through Smritis. The only Smriti that he commented on is Bhagavad Gita. And it is mentioned that his Bhagavad Gita commentary is the weakest of all. Because Bhagavad Gita, even though is Gita Upanishad, but it is not as indirect as the other Upanishad. It's a little more direct actually. So, he in one sense sidelined the Smritis, telling them that they are not bona fide. And even amongst Upanishads, he selected only a few Upanishads and said these are the most bona fide Upanishads. Like Mundaka, Shveta, Ashvatara, Kena, Kata and so on. So, therefore, the Vaishnava Acharyas like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya who came later, they had the responsibility of establishing their philosophy through the same pramanas accepted by Shankaracharya. First they have to do that. If you say that your philosophy is right, then why can't you establish it using these pramanas? They said, okay, fine. So they wrote commentaries on these, on Vedanta Sutra and other things, referring to those very same Upanishads. They established. Now, they have this additional responsibility of re-establishing the bona fide nature of the Smritis also. Because the Smritis are more direct. For personal nourishment, all the Vaishnava Sampradayas refer to Smritis only. The Madhvites refer to Mahabharat. Sri Vaishnavites refer to Ramayana and Vishnu Puran. The Gaudiya Vaishnavites refer to Bhagavatam. All are Smritis. Because this is more direct and more nourishing. None of these core practitioners of Sampradaya nourish themselves using Upanishads, which are more very indirect and complicated. Bhagavatam itself says that the Upanishads are very complicated. So, for direct nourishment, you need Smritis. So, now you have written Vedanta Sutra, but through Vedanta Sutras, one cannot get nourishment. Vichakshano. Asya arhati veditum vibho ananta parasya nivrittita sukham. For the great vichakshanas, they can refer to Vedanta Sutra and get inspired in devotional service. But for other common people, you need the Smritis. So the Smritis validity has to be established now. So now almost all the Vaishnava Acharyas took this job to establish the validity of the Smritis. That whatever is mentioned in the
smritis is act, they are mentioning what is mentioned in the shrutis only. So now that they have established their own siddhanta based on the shrutis, now what they do is they say that, you see, the smriti says this correlates with this shruti. They have to do. So now you see, this smriti is valid. So establishing the validity of smritis was a very important task that the Vaishnava acharyas had to take. So Purusha Sukta is the most popular sukta from the Rigveda, which is considered to be the original Veda. Or even according to the Indologists, they say that this is the oldest Veda, like that. So this Purusha Sukta is a part of Rigveda. And if you see practically, if you go to South India, in all temples they pray Purusha Sukta. It is played in Lord Shiva's temple also, in Vishnu's temple also. So, but the problem is Purusha Sukta gives the description of that Purusha, but it does not say who that Purusha is. Okay. But Bhagavatam starts by describing who that Purusha is and then gives his description. So who is that Purusha? So he starts, Sayeva Purushas Tasmad Andam Nirbidya Nirgata. That Purusha only entered the universe and manifested the universe, which has the form of Sahasra Uru, Sahasra Angri, Sahasra Bahu, Sahasra Aksha, Sahasra Anana, Shirshavan, like that. So Bhagavatam starts by describing who that Purusha is and then describes his form. So therefore, by confirming with Purusha Sukta, it adds to the validity of Bhagavatam in their eyes. For us, anyway, we neither know Purusha Sukta nor we know Bhagavatam. Whatever it is, we are willing to accept. So for us, it may be like Purusha Sukta, whether Purusha Sukta is confirmed or not, what difference does it make, we may think. But it's historically, it's a very significant thing. So Bhagavatam not only describes that same Purusha as it is described by the Purusha Sukta, but it also indicates who that Purusha is. That is Vishnu. Yeah, in this case, yeah, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Okay. So, even though the next chapter is titled as Purusha Sukta Confirmed, Purusha Sukta starts getting confirmed from this chapter only, from this verse. Like that. Okay, we'll move ahead.
Yasyeha vaya vairlokan kalpayanti manishinaha katyadibir adas sapta saptor dvam jaganadibihi. Iha, within this universe, manishinaha kalpayanti. Kalpayanti means they imagine. At the beginning only he indicates that this is an imaginary form. Again and again, the word kalpayanti, 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 itiva loka kalpana. Like that, you know, the word kalpana and kalpayanti will be used again and again, indicating that this is an imaginary form. Within the universe, the wise imagine the planets as his limbs. The hips and below are the lower seven planets, starting with Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Rasatala, Patala, like that. And the hips and above are the seven upper planetary systems. Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka and Satyaloka, like that. So the seven upper planetary systems are hips and above, seven lower planetary systems are hip and below, like that. So kalpayanti, they imagine. So here, Srila Prabhupada writes, The word kalpayanti or imagine is significant. The Virat universal form of the absolute is an imagination of the speculative philosophers who are speculative philosophers ka imagination nahi hai. It is recommended that they meditate on this form. It is not a creation of their imagination. It's an imagination that is suggested by the Shastras only. It's not a speculative creation of the Mayavadis, not in that sense. Who are unable to adjust to the eternal two-handed form of Lord Shri Krishna. Although the universal form as imagined by the great philosophers is one of the features of the Lord, it is more or less imaginary. More or less imaginary means what constitutes the Virat Roop is not imaginary. Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, they are not imaginary, they are real. But to think that they form various limbs of the Supreme Lord, that is an imagination. There is no personality who has the Patala as his feet and the Satyaloka as his head. There is no such personality like that. It is said that, so whenever the word Virat Roop is used, Vaishnavas understand it as the universe. Virat Roop indicates the universe. That's how they understand. It is said that the seven upper planetary systems are situated above the waist of the universal form, whereas the lower planetary systems are situated below his waist. The idea impressed herein is that the Supreme Lord is conscious of every part of his body. And nowhere in the creation is there anything beyond his control. See, I can control my finger. Okay? I can control my eyes, open and close. Any part of my body is under my control. So when you say that all these planetary systems are the bodily limbs of the Lord, it indicates that everything is under his control. And also, when there is a prick in my finger, I immediately know. Anywhere in the body, I have little pain. You know, like for example, now I have some mouth ulcers. And it's constantly paining. So, any part of the body where there is a problem, immediately one can understand it. So, this talks about how Krishna, how the Supreme Lord is in control of every nook and cranny of this universe. And how he is knowledgeable of every nook and cranny of this universe. This is what this Virat form description indicates. It's an indication. To say that it is the limb of the Lord means that the Lord knows what is happening in the limb. And the Lord can control his own limbs. So controllership and knowledge, omniscience of the Lord is indicated by this description of Virat Roop. That's how Prabhupada is explaining here. Sarvataha pani padam tat sarvatokshi shiromukam sarvatra shutimal loke sarvamavrat. That indicates the super soul, right? The super soul feature. Yeah, you can say. I don't exactly remember the explanation. But I can refer and it seems like that to me. Yeah. Purushasya mukam brahma kshatram etasya bahavaha urvor vaishyo bhagavataha padbyam shudro vyajayata. Purushasya mukam brahma. Okay. The brahmanas arose from the purusha's head. Kshatram etasya bahava. The kshatriyas arose from his arms. Urvor Vaishyo Bhagavataha, the Vaishyas arose from his thighs. Padbyam Shudro Vyajayata, the Shudras arose from his feet. Now I will read the Bhagavatam verse. You match the corresponding Purushukta verse, which is also there. Purushasya Mukam Brahma. Kshatram Etasya Bahavaha. Urvor Vaishyo Bhagavataha Padbyam Shudro Vyajayata. like that. So there is, you know, Purushyukta is getting confirmed like that. So here, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, all living beings are parts of the Lord's body. All parts are equal constitutionally, but the mouth has a higher functionality. Because mouth has two functions, eating and speaking. So Prabhupada talks about eating. The hunger of the Lord is to accept the fruits of sacrifice. Therefore, the brahmanas must be expert in performing sacrifices. And speaking. Speaking means to glorify the Lord and propagate that message. Therefore, the brahmanas should know the scriptures nicely. So, he is explaining what is the meaning of mouth. Being the mouth means they must be expert in sacrifices. And they must be expert in the shastras. In glorifying the Lord. Similarly, all parts play their individual roles. The goal of human life is to know the relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Lord and act accordingly. Therefore, the universe is a complete unit in relationship with the Lord. And without this relationship, the peace and prosperity is disturbed. Like that. Bhurloka kalpita padbyam bhuvar lokosya nabitah hrida swarloka urasa mahar loko mahatmanah. From the feet to the hips of the planets, hips, the planets from Patala to earth are imagined. Patala, Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Palatala and so on. Bhuvarloka extends from the navel, swarga is situated at the heart, maharloka is at the chest, like that. So, let's move on. Grivayam jana lokosya tapo lokastanadvayat murdabhis satya lokastu brahma lokasanatanah. Jana loka is on the neck, tapo loka is on the breast, and satya loka is on the heads of that form. Above this is the Lord's planet which is eternal. Above satya loka is the brahma lokasanatanah. Beyond it. So, Srila Prabhupada here writes about this Brahma Loka and Satya Loka. So, Prabhupada says that, but the Brahma Loka mentioned here is not the same as the Satya Loka planetary system. The Brahma Loka is eternal, whereas the Satya Loka planetary system is not eternal. This morning, Bhagavatam, we discussed about the same thing. Because there in that purport Prabhupada wrote, it seems that Satyaloka is also transcendental to the three modes. We were discussing on that. But of course, we understand it. It's a contextual presentation. It's not completely transcendental. The effect of the modes is very minimal. You can switch off some lights also. Okay, I think it's time to wind up. Okay, let's see. Maybe we'll end this chapter and then we'll end. There are only two more slides. You can switch off the. No, let DT's fan be on. No problem. You can switch off the projector. Not from there. From here you can switch off the projector. Not from there. Okay, it took care of itself. Okay, so Grivayam, so Prabhupada here writes that, but the Brahmaloka mentioned here is not the same as the Satyaloka planetary system. This Brahmaloka is eternal, whereas the Satyaloka planetary system is not eternal. And to distinguish between the two, the adjective Sanatana has been used in this case. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, this Brahmaloka is the loka or the abode of Brahman or the Supreme Lord. Like that.
Further, Prabhupada writes, in the spiritual world also there is no difference between the body and soul. But there is variegatedness which is not material. But foolish people make mistake material and spiritual world to be on the same platform, and thus, okay. Anyway, so, okay, this concept we will discuss tomorrow when we discuss the sixth chapter. We'll move on. Tatkatyam chatalam kliptam orubhyam vitalam viboho janubhyam sutalam shuddham jangabhyam tutalatalam mahatalam tugulfabhyam prapadabhyam rasatalam patalam padatalata iti lokamayappuman. Lokamayappuman, that personality who is made of the lokas. So like that, Atala is the hips of the Lord, Vitala is his thighs, Sutala is his knees, Talatala is his shanks, Mahatala is his ankles, Rasatala is the top of his feet, Patala is the soles of his feet, like that. Bhurloka kalpita padbyam bhuvar lokosya nabitah swarloka kalpito murdna iti valoka kalpana. So earth and the lower planets are imagined to extend from the feet up to the hips. Bhur loka is at the navel and swarga loka is imagined to be the head. So here swarga loka means swarga loka and above. Swarga, janaloka, maharloka, janaloka, tapaloka and satyaloka, like that. So this is like a summary of this verse. So we will continue this discussion tomorrow when we discuss the sixth chapter of second canto. So tomorrow hopefully we'll have the regular schedule, 10:30 to 12:30 and 1:30 to 3:30. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.